Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Happy 2-4.
Happy 2-4.
Long weekend.
Oh my god, I totally forgot. I'm working Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so...
Do they have May 2-4 in Halifax? It's a Canadian holiday, right?
It's a Canadian holiday.
Except
I
for Quebec.
Don't get holidays, because that's what happens when you work 12-hour shifts.
Right. I'm sorry. I was thinking about that today.
I was rubbing it in, though.
Somebody else said that to me today. It's like, I just can't catch a break. I was up where I work. I mean, there's a lot of outdoorsy stuff, and we just opened for the season, and I was up talking to guys who work outside, and I said, man, I'm just killing time out here, because I just want the weekend to be here. And he's like, thanks. I got to work here for the next 4 months straight. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm going to go sulk over there now.
Aw, poor Ryan.
Yeah, but my day wasn't as bad as what you had to do today.
Oh, man, yeah. Troubleshooting Windows, just especially Vista, makes me want to just... What did I say earlier? Strangled kittens?
I mean, kittens are one of the cutest things you can get your hands on, and I don't know how you could bring yourself to want to choke them.
I was so angry. I think Joel left the house to go grocery shopping because he just didn't want to be around my ranting about Microsoft anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught in the blast fire, because that
is... Can you please explain that to him? Because he thought that Windows Rage was unique to me, but you have to tell him that no.
Well, what you need to do is you need to set him up with a Windows computer for like a couple years, and then see if he finally understands. Because he's been on a Mac, and yeah.
That's the chat room right now is telling me that since it's Vista, I should just upgrade it. But that's what I was trying to do. But you can't upgrade to 7 anymore. They won't let you download it. You have to actually order a disk because they want everybody on 8. And I'm like, I don't want 8. 8 is stupid. I want 7 because I use 7. So if I get his mom set up on 7, then I can troubleshoot with her and it's going to make life so much easier.
They pulled the
Such
same thing
a trial.
With XP, where you couldn't get XP once Vista shipped because Vista was such a mess that they didn't want XP competing with it. Same with Windows 8, I guess.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was my tech day. It was literally from when I woke up at 8:30 this morning until like 8:30 at night. I was just like, at about 8 o'clock, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna shut it down. You can actually see it. It's right. Wait, that over that shoulder. It's right there behind me on the. Oh, you can't see it, but everyone else.
I will
see
later.
It. Anyways. Yeah, it's right behind me right now. And I literally was like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm just going to, you know, shut it down and be done with it for the day because this 12 hours is enough. And I literally went, shut down. And it went, okay, I'm just going to install updates and then I'll shut down. And then it's like one of 107. Oh. And I was just like...
I went through that recently.
Awful. Ugh. Awful.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
PC gaming sucks.
Anyways, yeah, that was my day, so. What have you been doing, Ryan? Have you been playing some games? Because I want to hear about what you've been playing.
I have been playing console games. That's right. I have not been playing my PC because I knew we were going to have this talk, and now I'm all upset with PC games. I went home last weekend for Mother's Day, and my older brother wasn't home, and I kind of started... You know how when you have siblings and they have a bunch of different stuff, and you start rummaging through their stuff? I saw he had Injustice Gods Among Us in a pile, and I'm like, ooh, this is brand new. So I borrowed it. I have to return it tomorrow before he realizes that it's gone. But yeah, it's really good. It's a really cool fighting game. It's a DC fighting game
It's one that I saw and I wanted to pick up. I saw the trailer, I think, of Harley Quinn, and it looked so cool, and she's going all kick-ass on Joker and stuff, yeah. And I was like, you know what? I could get into that.
That's the best part about it, is that it's super accessible, and the characters that you're playing as, you know who they are. So, like, with the problem with Mortal Kombat, I played... they had one that came out just last year, and it was good, and I kind of like Mortal Kombat, but it's really hard. You don't know who the characters are. Like, once you get past Shang Tsung, Liu Kang, and the classics, then you get, like,
I know Liu Kang!
Yeah, Liu Kang, Sub-Zero, but then you get, like crazy guy who has a saw blade head. Nobody... I don't know who that is. That's a real character. And also, like, the combo moves are difficult. Like, basically all you can do as a noob is just punch and kick. And again, I suck at fighters. So I know I'm a noob. So that's what makes Injustice so great, is that it's super accessible. It's really easy to pull off combos and just really flashy looking moves just by mashing buttons. And I've only
I love that when you can just like push a button and it's like you push A and then your character goes like, huh, face kick, roundhouse, jump thing. And you're like, I did that with one button.
You're describing the Flash's super move. And the best part about the games made by the Mortal Kombat guys is the finishing moves. And in this one, they have, they're called super moves. And the way you pull them off is by just filling up a meter, a power bar, and just pushing the L and R trigger. And that's it.
Nice.
But in Mortal Kombat, you were like, just, okay, up, down, half circle, XB. And I know that's a fighting game. That's how fighting games work. But that's why I love this game so much, is because it's accessible. Which I guess it kind of needed to be, because...
That was one of the things I really actually didn't like about the combat in Darksiders 2, is it was like, it was combos, which is fine. But it was like, X, hold X, wait 2 seconds, hit X again, and it's like these crazy, like, it's just all, I guess, timing, as opposed to like XY, XY, B or something.
Right.
And so I found that it was really hard to get the timing just right, and then I couldn't remember. I was like, okay, I want to do move X. Does that mean I hit Y, or is it just 2 Ys, or is it Y twice and then hold Y? And I was really, really, really having a hard time remembering all my moves, because it was just different timings and combinations of the same button. So frustrating.
Yeah, this one doesn't have I mean, there are like delay moves, but I haven't really been using them, and I've just been strictly playing the story mode, which is a very linear sort of like cutscene fight, and it just keeps moving like that. But it's really fast paced in the sense that you start as Batman, and then something happens to Batman that he has to go away, and then a new character is introduced. And it's, as soon as you start to get sick of playing as a single character, like say as Batman, you do 4 fights and then he moves out of the way and you go to the next chapter and play as the Joker. And it transitions really quickly like that, so you're constantly getting to try a new character, getting to try new moves, especially with the supers, because they're so easy to pull off. You'll find that you're going to see them 3 or 4 times and get really sick of them. Because, like, they're not really drawn out, but I'll give you an example. The Flash's one is he'll, like, do, like, a couple quick punches to stun you and then run around the world and then, like, super uppercut you.
That seems excessive.
Well, I mean, he's the Flash, so, I mean, that's kind of what he is. So he, like, runs around the world.
It's not like, does he build momentum? Like, I don't know, or is he just showing off? He's like, I'm so awesome, I'm so fast, I'm just gonna run around the whole entire world before you even get unstunned.
Maybe it's faster for him.
He kind of sounds like a jerk. I don't think I like the Flash.
He is, a little bit. Maybe it's faster to go around the world maybe it's faster to run straight as opposed to running around the character. So that in order to get behind them, you just run around the world.
Ah, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's a superhero game. So like, he'll, like, uppercut him, then, like, the guy goes flying, and then he'll, like, jump up behind him and punch him down, and then that's your super move. Okay, so
wait. Assuming that if you're running around the whole entire world, because that has some kind of make your punch more powerful type
something. It does, something, Jocelyn. It's a comic book game.
Okay. Let's go with it here.
All right.
Then you proceed to take that momentum and punch someone, and they can still get up again? No.
Well, okay, you think this is outrageous. Now, keep in mind, they are, again, they're superheroes, but if you play the Mortal Kombat game that came out last year, you're having problems with this game. You would have had really bad problems with the other one, because you would do super moves where you would, the actions would come to a standstill, you'd get an X-ray vision of what you're doing, and you could literally, like, crush people's rib cages and, like, cave in their and it showed it in graphic detail, too.
Sounds like.
And it was pretty gruesome, the stuff you could pull off. But they get right back up. I mean, it's still health bar based, right?
Yeah. So I kind of wish that those were finishing moves, you know? Like, if I ran around the whole entire world to smack you in your face, you better stay down, man. You just stay down.
Well, they do a lot of damage, I think. And I'm with you. I kind of like to use them to finish off the character because it feels more like, yeah, stay down. But, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. When you're pushed up against a wall, you kind of have to roll with the punches, I guess. But, yeah, the story mode's so crazy. The story is really hard to explain, but it involves, like, multiple dimensions, and Superman's a bad guy, Superman's a good guy. And the title literally means, like, it explores what would happen if superheroes just, you know, started being our enemies, started... Which is crazy because in the story, you don't really see their direct effect on humanity. There's no, like, humans in the game. It's all superheroes. I think about 3/4 of the way through, which is kind of unfortunate because I would have liked to see, like, the, you know, the aftermath of how these humans are coping with these gods. But they don't really show that. It really focuses on the superheroes. But,
the basic premise, from what I understand, is, like, something happens to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Superman goes crazy and goes, like, vigilante, but with, like, no conscience sort of thing. Like, there's nothing holding him back anymore. He just goes and starts killing people. And Batman goes, whoa, we don't kill people, dude. And Superman goes, F that noise, and breaks people in half.
Yeah, he does.
And, yeah, so that's basically... And then so you have, like, superheroes and villains... kind of picking sides between Batman and Superman, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, give or take?
That is a pretty good way of describing the one side of it. Now, the story of how, like, the one dimension gets to the other dimension isn't really explained as part of the upfront story. I don't even think I've made it that far, but it is really cool. And there are, like, sort of like, whoa, dimension, I'm fighting myself segments. Which is really good. What's his name? The guy who was in Firefly, the Baldwin guy. Adam. He plays Hal Jordan. And
for a second, I was just, the only thing I could think of was Alec Baldwin. And I was like, that's wrong.
No,
that's
it's wrong. Not.
Oh man, losing all nerd cred right now.
Yeah, he plays Hal Jordan. And there's a segment where you end up fighting yourself, and there's a couple smart. There's a lot of one-liners in this game, you know, because right after you kill somebody, it's like, oh, cheesy one-liner, then move back into the story, which, I don't know, I don't have a problem with that, but it's such a fun game, and if you have any interest in DC Comics or, just DC Comics or comic book heroes in general, you should pick this game up, and super accessible, so don't worry if you're not a big fighting person, because if you're just in it for the story... you're going to have a blast just punching some teeth in with the Flash.
Right. I don't know if I would use the Flash. I don't know. The whole running around the world thing is a little bit much.
Well, you'll have to at some point in the story. I mean, you play him in the story, but you start off with the classics.
There is a story-based kind of a thing, right? Like, so you do have to switch characters, and you're playing through some kind of... a thing, not just like a ladder type situation.
Oh yeah, no, it's a straight up story in the sense that chapter one is you are Batman for 4 fights, and it just sort of progresses, and moves on from there. So you'll start as Batman, and then you'll have a story transition into the next chapter and play as Hal Jordan. Or a Green Arrow, and it sort of progresses from there, and it, like I said, it moves really quick, so you're never, if you don't like a character, you can sort of just, you know, hammer your way through it pretty quickly, so you're never bored when you're playing the story.
I'll teach you fear. I'm a bad student.
And we're back. Sorry about that, guys. I think everything is working better now. There was some updatingness that happened with XSplit and Skype, and for some reason it had defaulted to my webcam mic instead of my actual podcasting mic. So that's why my levels are going crazy spiky, and I think we've got everything handled now. Mic is working. I am working. Ryan is working. Let's get this show on the road.
I needed an update, Jocelyn.
Hard reset. Whack!
Ow, don't hit me.
Okay, so we are all set to jump right back in here, which is with what I have been playing, which is the Neverwinter beta. I only got a few hours into this, probably 2 or 3 hours, I guess. It was okay. It was interesting. I think it's going to... What are you doing with your fingers? What is this?
Someone said drink some Monster, so I started acting like a wired person.
Oh, I see. I thought, was that Medusa hair, tentacles? Oh, are you being Kerrigan?
No. What is with you in trying to make me a queen? This is not... You have a serious problem.
Unintentional.
Yeah, she's winking right now, isn't she?
Back to Neverwinter.
Yeah, so, I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so I think it's going to fall into the same problem that... now, I haven't played Terra, but Joel has, and I've watched him play some Terra.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see the big problem is, or where WoW's big strength is that when you start a new character, you start a new race, you start in a different location. So you can start many different characters, and you get a different experience with each different race. So with the Neverwinter beta, I only started two characters. And basically what happens is there's this cutscene, which is really cool, and then you wash up on the shore and you kind of start your adventure. But it's a very, very linear path. It's not like no matter who you are or what side you're on or whatever else. And even then, there weren't actual sides. There was like, it was just you were part of the war against basically the undead, for lack of a better term. And you kind of just progress in this really linear path. And then you get to the main city of Neverwinter, and that's pretty much as far as I got. I did some quests in the city, and I went down into the vault and stuff, and it's interesting. I like it. The combat is, you can actually dodge, and you actually move as opposed to, like, WoW, where you just have a percent chance to dodge. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's an actual, like, there's a big red mark on the ground where they're going to hit, which I kind of hope you can turn off, because I like being able to dodge an attack. But I definitely don't want it to, you know, tell me exactly where that attack is going to hit. So when I was playing, when there were archers, they had like a big V shape in front of them. And as long as you got out of the V shape, they didn't hit you. And then there was this other big boss guy that like pounded the ground around him. And so there was a big red circle around him whenever he was going to do his attack. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this. Really hope I can turn this off.
So the combat is dynamic in the sense that it's not like WoW where you just target someone and start whacking.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it was interesting like that. I played a rogue, and at first when you... I think there's five classes available in the beta with a sixth that says coming soon. And they were a cleric, which is like your healer. Then there were two different types of warriors, one that's clearly more of a damage one and one that's more of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the rogue, which I chose, and a warlock. So I was kind of like, I thought it was really weird that there was no like hunter ranged archer class. But then I got into playing my rogue, and the second ability that you get is throw daggers. So then all of a sudden, my super cool rogue can also throw her daggers, and it's like she's ranged. So I was kind of like, oh, so I have close-up melee attacks mixed with range attacks. And every level that I unlock so far, I think I'm up to level 6, has unlocked a different ability. So I'm 6 levels in, and I have all these different things I can do from, like, you know, close-up knifing attacks to my range dagger throw to this, like, super powerful attack where I basically, like, jump up into midair, disappear, because I'm a rogue, and then go, like, reappear somewhere else and go, like, really, really hard. It's super cool. I feel really badass. And then I also have this really long cooldown attack, which allows me to appear and disappear if there's like a whole big group, and I can attack everyone in the group over and over and over again just by going like whoosh, 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 all over the place. So cool. The combat was really cool. The effects were really cool. I'm enjoying it, but the big problem is I sunk, like I said, 2 to 3 hours into Neverwinter. It was good. It was interesting. And then today I sunk 8 hours into WoW while I was uploading or like updating, working on all the computer troubleshooting stuff I was doing, because I'm so invested in my character, and I've decided the reason I like WoW so much is because there's so much to do that isn't just questing.
Right.
Like, I mean, I was leveling archaeology, and then I did battle pets for a while, and then I fished for a while, and then I went back to archaeology, and then I got to the point in archaeology where I could do archaeology and get a battle pet, so I was just like, well, clearly I'm going to do both at once.
And, Pokemon, you know, like, why not?
I know! And I was getting achievements, and I just feel like there's so many other things to do in WoW that aren't dungeons or questing or raids, you know? So if I don't have a lot of people to play with, or if I don't feel like questing or whatever, there's just so much else to do. The world is so big and it's so established that I have lots of things to do, even when I can't do the traditional WoW stuff.
See, that's why I don't play MMOs, because I'd always be like, I should play my MMO or try this MMO or whatever. And it's always like, oh man, I could totally play this for 15 hours and then watch my, you know, the games I want to play as well just pile up, right? So you kind of have that. You're kind of explaining the issue in the sense that you tried Neverwinter, you enjoy the combat, but then you go back to WoW, and I noticed you don't even talk about the combat. You're talking about like the extra features, right? Like the combat in WoW is pretty simple.
The combat in WoW is awful.
Yeah. Well, it's
not awful, but you're right.
Yeah.
Simple. You know, like it can be. I find the combat in WoW is really, really cool in PvP because you really have to, like, mobs in WoW don't move. You know, if they do, you can totally keep up with them. It's not really that challenging. Where the challenge comes in usually is if they have attacks that hit more than one person, or, you know, if you have bosses that are made for 10 or 25 people that you are then trying to take on with, you know, either less people or at level or whatever, then things are pretty challenging. But when you're just walking around in the world and it's you versus, you know, Wolf X or Dragon Y, it's easy. So I know there's probably a whole bunch of PvE people that are just going to be jumping down my throat right now, but I should tell you I'm not max level. Right. I am still just level 85. I have not actually done the Pandaria content. So everything has been nerfed so many times that, I mean, I was leveling doing basically nothing. Even just the stuff I was doing, exploration, battle pets, and archaeology today, I ended up with 4 million XP out of 13. So I went a quarter of the way through level 85, not really doing anything. So
that sucks.
It really kind of does. And I don't think that they've changed it yet. I think the change is coming where they take 30% off of the experience required to level from 85 to 90. I'm pretty sure that change comes in 5.3, which hasn't actually dropped yet. So
right.
It's, PvE is really easy. PvP is way more interesting because people move that much faster. They have movement buffs. They know that, like, if I'm a hunter, I can only shoot ahead of me, so they try really hard to get behind me. And, you know, I've gotten really good at actually moving around, and that's totally because of PvP. That has nothing to do with the environment. So yeah. I'm sure it will benefit me once I get up to raiding in Pandaria content, but you know, in terms of up until now, it's taken a year and a half to get to where I am. And that's because, you know, we play very casually. But, I mean, the combat in WoW is very simple, but there's so much else. Like I say, I sunk a year and a half into my character. I really like the way she plays. I like the pets that I have. I mean, my actual hunter combat pets, not my battle pets.
Right.
But yeah, I've sunk so much time into it. All my friends are there. There's so much else to do that I really want to get up to max level, including like the pets and the, you know, achievements, everything else. Like, God, there's 2,000 achievements or something in WoW. So, and I feel like in WoW, I'm never going to run out of things to do. I'm never going to run out of challenges. And I've been finding that I've been looking at achievements and like trying, like, farming things and grinding things and really trying to, you know, get that rare pet or, you know, do that really, really hard thing to do, which totally started with that PvP achievement in Children's Week. That's what got me on this whole impossible achievement WoW kick.
Did you do it? Did you finish your Children's?
I did.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. So what's next? It's
the Midsummer one, which is going to be difficult because you have to... I've been looking it up because I've been trying to figure out my strategy, but it's the same as the Chinese New Year one where you have to honor the elders. You have to extinguish the fire in the middle of Ironforge. Yeah, so I have to get my Horde character into the middle of Ironforge.
That's easy. You just enlist all of AIE. And everyone's like, oh, God.
Okay, guys, call to all of our AIE listeners. We need to get me to the middle of Ironforge.
Let's do it. You might want to. I'm pretty sure you'll be 90 by the time you get to Brewfest, but some of the achievements I know specifically with Brewfest require you to be a certain level. Because when I was playing Mists way back in September, I was trying to do Brewfest, and I had to be like level 90 to get it. And it's like, well, I'm not going to race to 90 in having Mists for 2 weeks. Be a waste of time. I'm going to parcel this content out and play all the year. You know, so just watch that. But I have to know, with Neverwinter, how's the story? Because I find with the MMO, if I can't get into... And the story doesn't have to be perfect, but if I can't get into it, like, Terra was just sound like, oh, this is just so boring and fantasy. Yeah. And
I found with the story, I was really excited about it when I thought that I could choose to be on either side, because the opening cinematic is you have this kind of army of undead skeletons, and there's this like queen kind of she almost looks like she maybe was an elf, kind of like a Death Knight elf, like she was kind of all
like a dark
really,
elf.
Really pretty and elven, but then had like fiery blue undead eyes kind of thing going on. So and then there was like this skeletal dragon with this blue flame thing going on, and it was a really really cool army. And then you had a castle, and in the castle you had these like, you had the human cleric and the, you know, the big warrior guy, and then this really cool guy with these horns. And, you know, I was really like, oh my god, like these two different factions, this is going to be awesome. But then you can only be on the side of the castle defender guys. So I was kind of like, and they are defending Neverwinter, which is the name of the castle town, whatever you want to call it. So it lost me a little bit there, because it was basically just like, we all have to defend this location against this invading undead army. But they did a really good job, which I find WoW doesn't do, of explaining who this queen person is, you know, that the dragon, the skeletal dragon with the blue flame is... like not normal, like she went above and beyond to get this thing. And you know, they do introduce you to the world in the first five levels way way better than WoW does, but it's also so far a very simplistic story. So I mean, WoW has so many different races and so much history and such a rich lore that it would be really difficult to explain in five levels.
Right.
Whereas if you just have this one small, like the chat room is saying, it's a custom D&D, which is Dungeons & Dragons world. So there's lots of story behind it, but in terms of what's actually going on in that one battle, you don't really, there doesn't seem to be too much to it. You know, there's good guys and bad guys, and you're the good guys, and you have to kill the bad guys, and that's it.
All right. Well, yeah.
But what Neverwinter does have, which I'm really excited about, because this is something that I've always wanted to get into, is they have something called the Foundry, which is basically allows you to go into their software and build your own maps and dungeons and levels and quests, which is, I think, really, really cool. Oh. So you can go in and build your own stuff, and then you can share it with other users. So if you created a dungeon and you were like, hey, do you want to play this? I could go into Neverwinter and play your dungeon. So I haven't actually played around with it yet, but it looks really, really easy to use. It's available to everybody. You just go into your character creation screen, and there's a link to it right there saying, you know, basically go into the Foundry, and then there's like a... Basically, like, what I understand, because I've never actually played Dungeons & Dragons. I know, losing geek cred, sorry, guys. But,
I haven't either.
So, from what I understand, it's basically the same way that you would create a dungeon in Dungeons & Dragons if you were the dungeon master on graph paper. Very similar. It's a grid, and then you get to, like, draw the layout of the dungeon. And I find, like, I think we talked about in probably episode, like, 10, how I was doing the Portal 2 level creators. I really like maps. Really big fan of creating your own levels and character, or not character. Oh, yeah, character. Well, you can basically use the custom character creation to make all the NPCs in your level and in your quests.
You can make your... Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really, really... what's the word? Robust.
So, does this user-created content... is the people that make Neverwinter sort of curating it and, like, starring the really good ones and saying, okay, everybody should play this one because it's really well-made and a lot of fun?
Like, I'm sure that they, it's probably a similar system to what StarCraft II does with the arcade, where it's kind of like user voted, but I'm not really sure because Neverwinter's still in beta. Right. So that's the other thing that we kind of have to keep in mind is that anything that's kind of glitchy or whatever, it's very likely going to be patched out before the final game comes out. So I'm sure it'll be something similar to that where it's all user voted. But I do believe that there's, I'm not sure if it's actually a contest or if it's just kind of an ongoing thing where if you do a really good job, you can submit it to them and they can put it in the main game available for everybody kind of thing. So
cool.
It's a really interesting concept. I'm really excited about it. And I think that will pull me into Neverwinter more so than the actual Neverwinter content. But a lot of other people on Twitter seem very excited about it, and like people who have gotten way further than me. There's one girl that I follow who I think is on her third level 60 character or something.
Neverwinter?
In Neverwinter, yeah.
It's still an open beta.
I know.
That's crazy. It is open beta. Anyone can get in, right?
Yes.
Okay. Open beta, yeah. And it's going to be free to play.
Yes, it is, okay. Which is another really, really cool thing that it's totally accessible for everybody. So
sweet. That's awesome. Yeah.
So anything else you've been playing before we move on?
A couple quick things. I have been playing Spartan Ops again. The reason I'm playing is because the way matchmaking works is that matchmaking is only available for an episode at a time. And currently, I think it's episode 6, and I did a little math and started mapping it out because I didn't want to miss any dates. And right at E3 is when the final episode of season 1 gets its re-release on matchmaking. So I'm thinking that Microsoft might have a season 2 Spartan Ops announcement for E3, considering they're not going to have a new Halo game.
Mm.
That's just my prediction. I'm just throwing it out there early.
I still think that they're going to redo Halo 2.
Oh, they could do both.
Same way that they did Halo or Combat Evolved.
But you're thinking for the 720? Or for the 360?
Well, both, I think.
Oh. Yeah. I could see that working, too. But I think they will also want to like keep Halo 4 going since they're not going to have another core title, a new core title to keep selling map packs and stuff. They'll probably charge for season 2.
But when they're actually coming out with 5?
No. I think they were in pre-production like early this year. Or no, not pre-production, but starting production early this year. So I don't know when it'll come out. Maybe next fall. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was the fall after that.
Oh, really?
Because Halo 4 took...
Well, Halo 4 did take a long time. That's true.
But that was engine building, but you got to remember that they should probably start a whole new engine for the 720. I mean, I don't know engineering. I'm just thinking that with new architecture, you'll need a new engine. But
yeah,
maybe the person to ask is a developer of some kind.
Angus.
He would probably know. But
I don't know if he could tell us.
He could probably tell us, but then he'd have to kill you. Or give you a job at Microsoft. I mean, really, I'd probably rather not be killed. The other thing I've been playing is Fez. Remember last year, this exact same time when Fez came out? And you played Fez, and I said I tried the demo and then never played it again. I bought it over Christmas, and it came out on PC, and I was going to buy it again. I'm like, wait, I have this on Xbox. So I play it on Xbox, and everything that Jocelyn said and that I said last year still totally applies. It's a great game. It's very... I never got far enough to realize this, but it feels like it's all exploration and a like all exploration and a little bit of puzzle solving, which I like, because it's kind of like, once you get into the vibe where it's like, oh, I should just be exploring, I shouldn't really be trying to do everything and trying to figure out everything. If I can't figure it out, I'll just come back to it later. Just keep exploring, keep pushing forward. But once again, I got sucked into soundtracks. there are three soundtracks for this game.
Really?
That many. Yeah, and you can get them all for $15. You obviously have the original, which came out last year with the first release of the game. But then in last month, they came out with two remix albums. Side F and Side Z. He probably... Is it Zed or Z? I keep forgetting.
It's Zed.
Yes, thank you. He is Canadian. I don't know if... I think the guy who did the music is out of Toronto, so... yeah, so Side Zed. And you can get all three. The remix albums are really cool. It takes the original album and sort of just gets it done from different authors. It's really... musicians. Really neat. And you can get, like, 4 hours of content for $15. Like, how could you say no?
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't actually have the original soundtrack yet, but I should probably get that, because I did enjoy it quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
The game and the music.
The music is all kinds of awesome BitTune stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. So, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, 16 does not become 32, though, because that would be insane. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to Quickfire News.
EA is killing online passes, their own. What's your favorite thing to do when you buy a new game? Oh, I know. Enter a 25-character code into Xbox Live so you can play the game online. Well, EA is killing that dream as they have canned their online pass program due to poor player response. And if you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic. So even though EA was netting about $10 to $15 million a year on this program, they've listened to gamers and have ended the online pass. Keep complaining, folks. Maybe next time we'll get them to fix SimCity.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Vivendi looking to sell its Activision Blizzard shares again. The Wall Street Journal reports this week that Vivendi is looking to unload part of its 60% share of Activision Blizzard in order to refocus its media holdings. This rumor comes in response to the news last week that World of Warcraft lost 1.3 million subscribers over the last 3 months. The drop in subscribers could be due to the end of many annual pass subscriptions purchased in order to gain free access to Diablo 3, which launched last March. It was last March, wasn't it? Last February, maybe? Anyways.
I don't know.
Apparently, 61% of Vivendi's shares were valued at $8.1 billion last year, making Vivendi's full share in Activision Blizzard worth more than $13
billion. Billion. Gran Turismo 6 announced for PS3. All cars and tracks from GT5 will be preserved. It will launch with 33 locations, 71 course layouts, of which 19 will be brand new. And additional sets and new tracks will be released every month via DLC. In July, PS3 gamers will get a demo of GT5. I'm not sure what that will entail, but it will be involve driving cars. When asked if we would see... I'm pretty sure the full game will entail driving cars as well, but we have yet to see. Anyways, when asked if we would see a PS4 version, Gran Turismo creator Kazunori Yamauchi said, "I thought the best scenario would be to have the game come out, then to have new scenarios, new DLC, and other updates. Once the players have thoroughly played out the system, if the PS4 version came out naturally as part of the process, I think that would be the best scenario." So, it doesn't sound like anytime soon.
Microsoft. Why can I not talk tonight? Microsoft is scrapping Space Points. I could have sworn Microsoft had already made this announcement about 4 Xbox dashboard updates ago, but according to an inside source, apparently they really mean it this time. With the launch of the new console will come the abolition of Space Points in favor of a gift card system. The move to real currency is thought to be driven by the integration between all platforms with the next-gen console, including PC and mobile.
You know, if Nintendo is doing real money and you're not, you got a problem.
There's a problem.
Yeah. Valve has launched Steam trading cards. The system is now available in limited beta and is basically a supercharged achievement system. Steam trading cards allows users to gather collectibles by playing their favorite games with sets tradable for game badges, profile backgrounds, emoticons, coupons, and much more. Currently, the features are available in Don't Starve, Dota 2, Counter-Strike, Team Fortress 2, Portal 2, and Half-Life 2, with the service expanding to more titles in the coming months. I think that was worse than Microscoffed.
Microscoffed?
To join in on the beta, join the Steam Trading Cards group, and invites seem to be going out quickly with extras to invites. When you get in there, you're going to get more for your friends. So I got two of them. If anybody wants some, friend me on Steam. Or Jocelyn. Whatever, I don't know.
More layoffs, this time at Tryon Worlds. More layoffs hit the gaming industry this week, this time at Defiance and Rift developer Tryon Worlds. As Defiance moves into the post-launch phase and Rift goes free-to-play, dev teams are being downsized. This is not funny, I'm laughing at my inability to speak. While numbers have not been made public, the studio says that the reports of 70 to 80% of the staff being laid off are grossly exaggerated. The studio also says that the layoffs do not affect future content offerings. The sci-fi TV show Defiance, which is tied to the video game, has been renewed for a second season.
Rift is going free-to-play June 12th. This week, Tryon Worlds, another Tryon Worlds story, made the announcement that many MMO players were waiting for. Rift will be free-to-play very soon. The full game will be available to all players, access will be open to all zones, dungeons, and other content, and is guaranteed for all future updates to Rift. An optional subscription will be available that grants special patron benefits like increased mount speed and special experience bonuses. Keep in mind, free-to-play does not mean the death of an MMO. It means more people will get to enjoy it, which is a great thing.
One quick aside before we move on to our last quickfire story, I just wanted to get your very quick thoughts on what do you think about them giving experience bonuses? Like, I mean, it's one thing to make things like different colors of armor, like different skins on things mm-hmm. available, but when they start buffing speed and experience, then that really means you're basically paying your way to faster leveling or a better character, or, you know, I feel like that could really throw an imbalance into a PvP type situation. What do you think about that?
I think the perfect free-to-play model is like, look at Dota 2, where they give you everything free-to-play, and everything you buy is customizable stuff. It doesn't affect your gameplay, it just makes you look different, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying, that, yeah. You know, this is directly affecting gameplay. It means that anyone that is subscribed is going to be gaining experience faster, is going to be moving through the world faster. And I think that's an interesting choice. I'd like to see how it kind of shakes out. I mean, probably most of the people with the patron benefits are going to be endgame anyway, because they're all the people who have been playing it forever and have been subscribed forever. You know, you're probably not going to get that many new players who are going to be getting those subscriptions. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. It may not affect it that much because that, you know, kind of strata is already going to be there. But it's kind of an interesting discussion. Maybe it'll be our discussion next week. Who knows?
Xbox is next week.
Oh, yeah, Xbox is next week.
That's Tuesday.
Oh, my God, I totally forgot, and I'm off work on Tuesday. Oh, my God, okay, this is amazing.
I took it off, too, just so I'm going to admit it right here. I took it off so I could watch it live.
We should live stream.
It happens every 6 years. Don't make fun of me, people. Plus, I need an extra day off because it's long.
All right, so last quickfire news story. Piracy may not be as rampant as we think. An independent study conducted by three academics at universities in Europe pinpoints the number of video game pirates at 12.6 million over a three-month period in late 2010 to early 2011. This figure is far lower than other industry studies that peg the number at over 18 million for PC games and 6 million for console titles in a comparative time span. While illustrating that piracy in the video game industry is in fact an issue, it is not as prevalent as the industry would lead us to believe. The study covered 173 titles over 14 platforms, which included the 360, the PS3, the Wii, and PC. also revealed in their analysis was that the top 10 titles, which included Darksiders, Call of Duty Black Ops, StarCraft II, and The Sims 3 Late Night, made up 41.8% of games downloaded. What's so funny? There are lots of people who play The Sims.
No.
Go there. It's not just me.
I'm not making fun of The Sims. I think that's the worst.
The Sims 3 Late Night.
I know, I kind of found that
That's
funny.
All I'm laughing. I mean, I think
Literally,
The Sims is great.
It's like they introduced nightclubs and vampires, basically, in Late Night. That was the thing.
Are things that come out at late at night.
Exactly, but it totally sounds dirty when you're just like, they BitTorrented Late Night for The Sims. Look out.
It was probably in the Bound dirty section. Wow.
Are there dirty sections of BitTorrent?
I don't know. I would assume so. It'd make it easier for those people to find their stuff. I don't know.
Those people. Oh, man.
Let's not go down that hole.
So that wraps up a very long quickfire news and brings us to our topic of the week, in which we are talking about, well,
the all the great stuff that was announced during the Nintendo Direct, right, Jocelyn?
No, we're not talking about Nintendo Direct because they shit the bed as always. But what they did do is start claiming YouTube ad revenue from people who had been streaming Nintendo games, which at first I was like, God damn it, Nintendo, what are you doing? But it turns out Microsoft does it too. So,
yeah. And to
Nintendo's not alone.
To make money off of streaming a game, I think you have to have a certain amount of subscribers and be enrolled in the YouTube Partners Program. But really, I'm half and half on this. I was going to say, like, really, if you're making money off of content, you should be making it off of your own content, right?
Well, in a way, though, it could be argued. I mean, honestly, the first thing I thought of with this was Twitch, because, you know, generally on Twitch, you get, if you're not a podcast, then you are a streamer, in which case you are streaming gameplay of a game and talking over top of it, and that's your content. And it's your content because you are adding to the experience that the developer has given you, in that, you know, if I play Luigi's Mansion and you play Luigi's Mansion, we may not make the same turns, we may not make the same decisions. I don't really know how Luigi's Mansion plays, but you know, you see where I'm getting at, is that even if I look left and you look right, that's a different experience. And if I'm putting my commentary on top of that, then I'm adding something to that experience. It's not just straight up, this is Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get that, and I just think it's like, start things off here, it's just really weird of Nintendo to do something that they know they would piss off the internet. No matter how, I mean, I could argue till Kingdom Come, just like you were saying, that like Nintendo has every right to do this, just like Microsoft has every right to do this. But like, really, why create a shitstorm 3 weeks before E3 when you're in the hole? Like,
well,
dig
what
up,
Microsoft-
stupid.
What Microsoft has done is that they have said basically that if you're going to make videos, if you're going to use Microsoft game content, you're allowed to do that. They're letting you do that, but you cannot profit from it. So you can't have ads at the beginning. You can't have ads at the end. If you have ads, like banner ads on your website, they can't be revenue generating. The thing is, that's really hard to police, and I mean, I hadn't even heard that this was a thing, and this is a story from back in October when Microsoft announced that they were changing their terms of service, basically. So, like I said, it's really hard to police. Are they going to go through every single stream on Twitch and try to figure out who's making money, who's not, who's making a lot of money, who's not making very much, like who's worth pursuing? I don't think so. But what Nintendo has done is they have, it's not the YouTube Partners Program, because I think that's what we enroll in as in order to have ads on our videos. But anyways, they're partnering up with YouTube in one way or another, and they are basically earmarking Nintendo videos and content and saying, if this shows up in a stream, they're not blocking it like most people do, or like most companies do in terms of like TV and movie generators. But what they're doing is they're throwing their own ads either at the beginning and end of the video, or, which I find more jarring, at the beginning and end of the Nintendo content. So if you have a 2-minute intro and then you have Nintendo content, they're going to throw an ad smack dab in the middle of your video, which is really sucky.
Well, it said so, bookmark. It would bookend. Yeah, I don't think the advertisement.
It would bookend the Nintendo content. So if the Nintendo content falls in the middle of your video, they will bookend the Nintendo content. So it'll be like video, ad, video, ad, video. And if you have multiple Nintendo contents, then it'll be like video, ad, video, ad, video, ad, like as many times as you show Nintendo content.
I don't think that. It says, as a result, Let's Play videos using Nintendo content will be bookended by ads. That sounds like they're going to put an ad in the front and back.
No, but in the actual, like, not the Polygon story, but in the further research, the Nintendo statement.
That sounds like a YouTube issue to me. That sounds so stupid.
They basically don't want to block streamers, but they want to make money off of streamers, which, again, there's a very fine line between protecting your intellectual property. Like, for instance, if someone was to take our Gamers In video, mute us, and just talk over us for the whole entire time, you know, like, that would kind of make me angry, because then I'd be like, wait a minute, that's my podcast. Stop talking over my podcast.
This is the point where Jocelyn has been playing WoW way too much, and Ryan is trying to talk about Neverwinter, and for some reason, Neverwinter just sucks. It's free to play. I don't get it. WoW is so much better.
Exactly.
Jocelyn's now hating on Nintendo.
On top of commentary.
then Ryan's talking about how Toronto lost. It's just so weird. God. What's wrong
you
with
had
this
to
podcast?
You bring that up, didn't you?
I almost forgot that happened this week. Sorry.
I did.
We almost got this close to finishing.
Yeah, this close to not talking about it. Anyway,
Nintendo.
I can see where protecting your IP comes in, but I can also see the legitimate argument that if you are, say, Husky, and you are casting a StarCraft II replay, then that is, like, I watch Husky replays not to see StarCraft games, but to hear his commentary. You know, like, I watch his versions over anybody else's versions because I like his sense of humor, I like his commentary, I find that he gives good tips and strategy interspersed with his commentary, so I watch for him, I don't watch for StarCraft.
Can you watch his commentary without the StarCraft match?
Well, I guess you could listen to his commentary without watching the StarCraft match, but then it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
So that's, like,
I guess you kind of could, because it would be the same as, like, listening to a hockey game, like they used to do in the Dark Ages when there weren't any TVs.
That is very true, but, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is...
Oh, tip of the day, says the chat room.
That must be a Husky...
It's a Husky thing, yeah.
Why couldn't they split revenue with these people? You know, like, wouldn't
because
that make more
Nintendo,
sense?
Nintendo, and they don't do that.
Or Microsoft. The one thing I got to give this Polygon story is that they did include that Microsoft did this 8 months ago, and it blew over pretty quickly.
It did. But again, I think that is because it's not as active a strategy as what Nintendo is taking. Nintendo is going to YouTube, and they are saying, we are doing this now. We want our content not blocked, but we want to make money off our content. Whereas Microsoft just said, guys, just be cool, right? Just stop. All right? All right, cool. And that's it. Like, I haven't heard of anyone actually getting sued by Microsoft for their ad revenues or anything like that, right? So
it's just weird. It comes off as really weird timing. And I mean, Let's Play videos, especially with Nintendo stuff, more recently I used it to get through a match in Fire Emblem that was causing some issues for me. So, like, there's many reasons why people watch Let's Play videos. I mean, in that specific regard, it had nothing to do with the person who was playing. It's just that they were better than me, and they beat the match, and I couldn't, you know? So, this is really weird timing. And, I mean, Nintendo has every right to make money off their content, but it sort of seems like, you know, you sold the software, and now you're getting, like, residuals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
So this is a move by Nintendo that is strictly geared towards YouTube videos. They are now partnered with YouTube. It doesn't affect anything else, whereas Microsoft affects all platforms. Any of their content streamed online is all affected by Microsoft's policy. So if more companies like Sony, and if Nintendo makes this not just a YouTube thing, but makes this a kind of streaming-wide thing, like, where do you see this going in terms of services like Twitch? Like, do you see this really impacting the content available to viewers online?
Well, first of all, I'll say nobody tell Nintendo about Twitch.
Yeah, really.
I'll say that first. You know, even if we keep Vimeo to ourselves, we'll use that in our back pocket if we need to. Just don't tell them about Vimeo or Twitch. Personally, I don't make money off of videos, but I can find it really tough to see people making a living off of, like, YouTube advertisements, but, I mean...
Well, it depends who you are. There's,
I guess. I shouldn't...
Husky, which I watched every time he puts up a new video, then, you know, he's getting, you know, 500,000, 1 million views on each StarCraft match. Like, I mean, that's some serious cash.
Yeah, I guess he should... Yeah, okay, well, I think that people should be...
When I watch them on the Apple TV, there aren't any ads. I don't know if there are if you watch them in the browser or not, but...
You're part still. Of the problem. I don't know. I feel personally for myself... I mean, I just streamed a Nintendo game. I was playing the Resident Evil Revelations demo on the Wii U, and... I don't know. I just do it just to show people. I don't do it to try and make money. But I know for people who are trying to make money, this can be a real burn because what you're good at is playing games and sounding funny over top of it. So, you know, you kind of need to be compensated for that. So I don't know.
Ever make you think twice about streaming a game?
No, not personally. Like I said, not personally because I don't think I would ever come to the point where. I make money, but
making a serious amount of money. Yeah.
But for people, let's say I am like the Husky of Luigi's Mansion, and I'm just killing it, getting 1 million views every day. I be busting some ghosts. I would think I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to stream. I'm not going to put the video on YouTube, you know,
because I might put it on a different service or
Vimeo or just leave it up on Twitch. Like, yeah, if I was a multi-million. Subscriber account, like, say let's look at the Yogscast guys, like, right. Shortly after this story broke, Notch was saying that YouTube approached them with the same offer and they considered taking it, but in the end they didn't, right?
Which offer?
The offer to do what Nintendo did in terms of partnering with YouTube to make money off of all the Minecraft videos were being made, right?
So that's
where Yogscast comes in, where they used to make a lot of Minecraft videos. And they decided not to, and I think that was a smart move because everyone was congratulating him, and he said, like, don't congratulate me because we thought about it and we almost did it. So, because it's really tempting, right, to make money off of something you worked really hard on, but I think you got to put your users first.
Yep. All right, so I think that pretty much wraps up our topic and brings us to listener feedback. So we got a little bit of feedback about our Ouya episode last week from Dave Carver, and he wrote us over on our Google Plus page, and he was commenting on the fact that we were all Apple people who were trying to comment on an Android device. And I responded by saying that that wasn't the problem. The problem that we generally had with the Ouya console, or that Scott had with the Ouya console, is that there wasn't a whole lot of content yet. Because, again, we are not at wide retail release. This is just the console has gone to the Kickstarter backers. So Dave's response was that there is content. It's just not yet in the Ouya store. You can get content on the device. You just need to sideload it. It is running on Android Jelly Bean 4.1, and there are numerous games that can be sideloaded, as well as other applications that can be sideloaded onto the device itself. While this way of doing things isn't downloading from the Ouya store, there will be more games coming and more applications. But with Android, you aren't limited to just the store that comes with the device. I suspect that the Amazon App Store could be loaded on the device as well. One such sideloaded app is BMC, which provides that media entertainment experience that Ryan was interested in. Mm-hmm. So, I understand this concept, obviously, because one of the big draws to Ouya when it was on the Kickstarter was that you know, being an Android device, it was very customizable. But I find that although Android phones, for example, are very cheap in comparison, generally, to an iPhone, the big draw to the iPhone is that they're all the same, and you don't really have to worry about if something's going to work with something else. You know, Androids can be very intimidating because they're so customizable, because there's so much to do, because of the back-end possibilities that come with Android, which is awesome if you're a really big computer person. But if you just want to sit down in front of your TV and play a game console, and you go to the store and there's nothing there, and then you have to worry about, you know, plugging in a USB and installing stuff and playing around with the back-end and side-loading and, you know, like...
You want to stay away from that back-end.
Yeah. Cover the hole and pray, man. Cover the hole and pray.
Do not walk behind the Ouya. You will be kicked. I think Dave's great, and he's just a different techie guy than I am. I mean, PC gaming is about as far as I go to, like, tinkering with stuff. And even in that case,
I like tinkering with stuff as well, but that's when I want to sit down and mess around with, you know, my computer. That's not when I just want to crash on the couch and push some buttons.
But I mean, even in that sense, like, for me, I'm just changing settings to get the game to run. I don't want to have to worry about, like, sideloading, and I know it's easy, but it seems, especially with the Ouya being so open, but it just seems like a lot of extra work when I'd rather just, like, and this is just me being a different person, I'd rather just plug it in and download a free demo off of the Ouya store and play it. And I mean,
and I think generally that is the experience that people who are going to buy an Ouya are looking for. I mean, obviously, there are going to be a lot of people that do want that customization ability.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people are buying the Ouya so they can hack it and crack it and sideload it and backend it, like all that fun stuff. I think that's there's a lot of people that are going to be doing that. But then when it comes down to that price point, like you said about the Android phones, everybody just loving them and snapping up because they're like a quarter of the price of an iPhone. The Ouya is very inexpensive, very small footprint. True. A lot of people are just going to want to buy that. It's like, oh, well, this will be a little game console I can put beside my cable box. This will be great. You know, so you have to think about both pictures. You can't just say, let's sideload this bad boy and we'll get a bunch of free games on there.
That's true. So, yeah, like I say, I can see ups and downs to the system. It's going to be really interesting to see what comes out with the final retail version in June, which is, I believe, June 25th is the retail launch date as of right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what developers have available and what you can get through the Amazon App Store and the Ouya Store and all of that. Yeah, so if anyone else has any comments about the Ouya or anything that you want us to discuss, you can send us an email at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+, just like Dave did. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who created our Twitter avatars and our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Bye!
Bye!
It's just been a whole day of nothing's working properly, and now iTunes is trying to override VLC, and it makes me want to choke a kitten.